to choose which way to go.
I just call this meeting to order. It's 3:06, and I guess we have a roll call.
Thank you. Member Branch?
Here.
Member Brown?
Here.
Member Schneider?
Here.
Member Smith?
Here.
Member Wignott?
Here.
Vice Chair Messner?
Here.
Chair Herrera?
Okay. Administrative agenda? Meeting minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve those minutes, Mr. Chair.
Second the motion.
Any comments? Discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries. Okay, B2, Street Tree Subcommittee meeting. I wasn't there, obviously. So, Bob?
Just that our next meeting is in 2 weeks' time at 2 p.m.
The meeting date?
26, thank you.
2 o'clock, okay. Thank you. Planning Director report?
Thank you, members of the Design Review Board. Just a couple comments from the department. The city clerk thanks the whole board for getting their Form 700s in on time. It's much appreciated. And yesterday night at the Planning Commission, the commission reviewed two projects. The first was the Verizon Wireless Monopine at Overpass Road. That was approved unanimously and will be returning today for design review on your preliminary calendar. The second project, project at 151 South Fairview at Hollister Avenue, has been continued to a date. I'm not sure. I think it's June 13th. And lastly, Mr. Kolwitz is putting together the annual approved versus built slideshow.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully, we'll find some time next month in May. That's tentative, but that is on the horizon. And that concludes my remarks.
Thank you. Just a follow-up thought on meeting minutes. I wanted to make sure I have an abstention on that one, because I wasn't here.
Okay. Thank you.
I just realized that. Okay. Review of agenda and projected agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Messner. We have two requests for continuance on the calendar. The first one is item H1, project 08196 DRB. That's the Montecito Bank and Trust project. They have made a request to continue to the meeting on April 26th, 2011. And the second request for continuance is item I-1, which is project number 09-129 DRB on Linmar Drive. And that applicant is requesting a continuance to May 10th, 2011. All other items on the agenda are expected to show today, and so that's today's agenda.
Thank you. Okay, D, public comment. This is a time for the public shall have an opportunity to...
Excuse me, I think we need a motion on those continued items. So I'll make that motion to continue the items as...
And I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. For the save. At this time, we'll have public comment. Anybody in the audience which wishes to speak, they may so. Seeing that we have none, we will continue. Let's see. Consent calendar?
There is none.
There is none. Signed calendar?
None.
There is none. Revised final calendar? None. All right, G1,
revised final.
Can you announce the
yes.
Design Review Board?
Thank you.
Just read it in the record.
Yeah, I want to get the record number.
Okay. Yeah. Item G1 is on the revised final calendar. It is Design Review Board Permit Number 11-029-DRB, Happy Harry's Facade Improvements, 720 Calle Real, APN 077-155-003.
Greetings.
Not so much.
Mm-hmm. No. We didn't receive anything.
No. On this particular calendar, we only have one on the memorandum for item G2.
I'll have to check with Mr. Kollwitz then, because the information was provided in a timely manner, and it was transmitted to him.
All right.
I don't know why it didn't come out.
All right, well.
Okay.
So after our meeting last week, so we took this extension, which came all the way up to here, and brought it back to 10 feet. So this whole thing has been foreshortened. And,
use a microphone.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Do I need to repeat that?
Yes, please.
Oh, okay. Well, after the last meeting, there were some comments and suggestions made, so we took those under advisement and developed a new design based on shortening the extension of how far out this covered canopy comes out. So now it's 10 feet out from the sidewalk. Before it was out about 13 and a half feet, I believe it was. And then these were the plans that were submitted to you at that time for this. But I've actually revised these since then, and I brought some drawings in to reflect that for you. I have a couple of sets in. So, you can have this one if you like. So basically, what I did here was that I introduced the hip roof all around, and then a little pop-up or kind of a cupola. And what I'm trying to do here is that, you know, in looking at the building itself, it has this very strong gable end with these terrific brackets, and that's really what you see from afar, that and the hip roofs on the side. So by integrating this hip roof feel, it's kind of receding that a little bit and hearkening back to this. And then this form was so strong, I thought it would be really nice to repeat it with some kind of a little cupola. This is just open, and these are all open here. And I have, I have a little sketch that I provided here. I have a few copies. They're not all at the same scale, but you can kind of see these. Here's a larger one.
Ron, can I get one for the file, too, please?
Sure. So we're thinking that, you know, this, even though it's shortened, it gives us some space to hang plants, and we'll have the planters on both sides that are planted now with a variety of plants, and then this will allow them some space. You can see on there that I indicated that they could roll out a cart with, like, oranges or tomatoes, something. It brings a lot of color and life out in there. And this cupola will bring some more natural light in without having to go to something like skylights, which I think are kind of out of character with this kind of building type. And this reminds me of a kind of a barn-like feel, this sort of little element like that. And it's quiet. It's much more sedate, and it's not detracting at all from the larger form.
Could I ask a question?
Of course.
Where the cupola is this
That would be open from underneath that cupola down into the covered area, so you get some ventilation and stuff.
Yeah, I'm trying to get the volume inside, too, so you're not just walking into an 8-foot ceiling, because by the time you get back here, it's 12 feet high. And so it's kind of transitioning back up to that higher space, and you'll see up in between the roof framing forms.
Could I have a couple of questions? Your sketch has kind of highlighted the cupola feature in that front portion, which has now been shortened by four feet. But behind that, you've got another portion of this new...
Which covers the sidewalk.
Right. And that has a flat roof.
Yes, sort of slide-in underneath the existing roof that's there.
Yeah, so what is the what's the width of that? That's also about 10 feet, would you say?
This here?
No, not the from the building outwards, that dimension, yeah.
This right here.
That's going to get the sloped roof. Is that about 8 to 10 feet there?
Okay, so that's that section that has the sloped roof portion is about 4 and a half feet, and then this section in the middle is pretty much flat section. You can see that on the roof plan. Shows how that's going. So this provides kind of a backdrop for this element.
Right.
This portion will slide in underneath this.
And what's the...
So this is the width of the sidewalk. So if you look at the site plan, you'll see that as you walk down, if you enter from the sidewalk, mm-hmm. you're going to be coming into that.
Right, I understand. So
this is all consistent.
What's the square footage of that flat surface? Yes, that's my question.
Square footage.
And how is it drained?
I'm sorry, what was that?
How is it drained?
Drained? Okay, so this is, let's see, I have 21 less 4 and 4 is 8. It's about 13 feet by 8. Calculator on me, but.
Okay.
And basically, you know, on the roof plan, what I'm doing is the steep sections on the sides, and then the midsection will just have a high point right here. So this will slope both ways, and then we'll catch it here, and we'll have gutters on the side. So it doesn't drip on
the side. So there'll be a slight pitch to that flat surface. It won't be completely flat, and it'll drain to the sides, and gutters will carry it into the planters, perhaps?
Right, right.
Okay.
And then these will just go down into the planters. I don't think you're really
going to Okay, that's great. Thanks. And then the front facade, what you'll see from the parking lot as you're entering, will be similar in the cladding that you have on the
yes.
building in that area?
Same cladding material and trim, same colors.
Okay, very good.
Any other questions? So, any comments?
No one minds me going first. I like what you did.
I like it.
I think it's a definite improvement over what we saw before. I feel, and I'm totally in favor of it.
Is that a motion, Tom?
No, I was just waiting for anyone else's comments.
I was the one that was struggling with it last time. It's definitely better. I think the whole cupola idea is better, and a lot of things have improved. I'm still struggling. I went by the site a couple of times since the last time you were here, trying to deal with how far this comes out into the parking lot. And while I appreciate that you've cut it back some, from my point of view, I think it's still a little too far out. I'm struggling with it again because I'd like to push it back, but obviously the more you push it back, the less the cupola thing works, and I think that works fairly successfully. So I'm on the fence with that.
No, thank you.
I agree with Tom. I think it's an improvement, and I actually drove by it over the weekend as well, and I think I don't quite have a problem with the with how far it sticks out. I think I'm comfortable with it as you presented it.
Yeah, I just agree with Scott's comment. I think the design is an improvement over what you showed us last time, and I'm comfortable with the distance you're coming out in the parking lot. As your sketch shows, that you probably have some sort of displays in that area as people are coming in. There'll be some kind of produce or something set out there, and so I think it'll work. So I would support what you've presented.
Okay, so then I guess, do we have a motion from somebody?
I would like to make a motion granting final approval.
I'll second.
Second? Oh, okay.
Mr. Messner, members, if I may, this is a calendar for revised final, so if we could clarify the motion.
Okay.
Number one.
I would like to make a motion for revised final then.
Okay.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. And then added one another note for the record. Since we're seeing some changes to the plans that were turned in last week, we will need the board to acknowledge that it's okay with receiving the changes today after the typical one-week deadline. So.
Before I go any further, how's the rest of the board feel about that? Is that okay? I mean, are we...
I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Okay. Then we're okay with it.
Okay. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And I'll abstain.
I'm going to vote no.
One, two, three. I abstain because I wasn't here at the original meeting.
Okay. That's good.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Item G2, Madam Secretary.
Okay. Item G2 is also on the revised final calendar. Design Review Board Permit Number 11-035-DRB, Tricep Corporation, 6325 Lindmar Drive, APN 073-005-021.
Scott, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
I'll cook it.
Do we have declarations?
I'm sorry?
No, no.
I've visited the site. I haven't had any discussions with the applicants.
Same here. Visited, but no discussions.
Same.
Okay.
I'm Bruce Burke, representing Tricep, and this is Peter Knapp, president of Tricep. We last visited you a little over 2 years ago. Since then, things in the business end of Tricep have changed a little bit, and we refined the plans and improved them. The major thing is over the solvent storage area. We're going to go and get an as-built verification of that structure. We realize we're going to need to replace the roof structure on past building department seismic requirements. We're providing a space for a 40 cubic yard dumpster so we can keep the smaller dumpsters out of the parking lot. We'll have a storage area that involves a new gate. We've downsized the size of the mechanical courtyard, and we changed the enclosure of the mechanical courtyard and the loading dock area from masonry block to chain link fence with privacy strips. Yeah, we're going to be abandoning the driveway. We had looked into moving the existing solvent storage area to another part of the property, but that's not going to be feasible. So at that point, we're going to abandon that driveway and turn it back into landscaping.
Okay. Questions from anybody?
The storage, the area where the dumpster is being stored?
The proposed dumpster?
Yeah. That's, it's going to be undercover? It's going to be
no. We have no plans for a roof on that. I'm sorry, on either end of it are masonry structures, one being a solvent storage area with a roof, and down on the southern side is a water treatment area, masonry enclosure with a roof on it. We're basically connecting the two masonry enclosures with a chain link fence.
So is I guess my question for staff, isn't there a requirement for enclosure, for a roof or enclosures over a dumpster? Isn't that one of the stormwater things we have to deal with or not?
Yes, and that's something that will be dealt with in the conditions of approval, which we always require a stormwater, site-specific stormwater management plan and a waste management plan. So one of those two plans will handle that issue.
Right, but if there's some sort of structure.
Oh, the enclosure for
that,
you to
that covers
look
it
at.
Over, isn't that, shouldn't that be part of our review, or is that? I'm not sure who reviews that. We've had problems with this before because it usually should be Public Works that looks at it and then it comes to us. So it just.
Bruce, don't you have elevations for that new?
Well, I have elevations on page A4. I didn't include
yeah, right.
a roof over the dumpster because that's new to me. We can potentially extend the roof over the water treatment area approximately 15 feet, and that will cover the dumpster storage area.
Is this the type of dumpster that gets elevated as it's picked up? It kind of goes up at an angle. I mean, they pull one out and they drop a.
Correct.
So
you're going to have to drag it into the parking lot before they.
Before
pick it up.
That would happen if it had to be roofed.
They have to
yeah.
do that now anyway, don't they?
There is no dumpster there now. We have 2 4-yard dumpsters that roll out into
right.
the parking lot,
right.
get picked up in the parking lot. Problem is, they end up getting left in the parking lot.
Right.
So we want to hide it and store it away.
Do you have a recyclables program? I mean, is that?
Oh yes, yes we do.
They have the dumpster for that is stored someplace else, or how is that going to be handled?
It's indicated now.
Yeah, there's a cardboard compactor.
That's for recyclables. Okay. Okay.
Any other questions?
Well, just the abandonment of the driveway that's north of the existing solvent storage area. Is that because the city is requiring you to take that out?
Well, we're trying to maintain 30% landscaping.
Oh, okay.
So whenever we can turn something into landscaping, it gives us room to build a larger loading dock, storage area, dumpster area, et cetera.
Right.
So it's all trade-offs.
And similarly, on the just to the east of that, where you're taking away a short section that's in front of the steps, you don't really need that portion anymore, or?
No, we were required by
you right at the 30%?
We were required by community services to narrow the driveway so that it didn't interfere with the set of steps coming down.
Okay.
Okay. Well, it wasn't our choice.
I see. All right. I was saying that was kind of curious. Okay.
Do you have, I mean, I know it's on the memorandum, it talks about planting 624-inch box weeping bottleneck trees along Lindmar Drive. But I don't see, I haven't seen anything in this packet regarding the landscape. Oh, it is.
Oh, go to L1.
I'm sorry.
I thought that was included back in January of 2009. We
right.
haven't changed the landscape plan other than to convert
right.
the driveway.
I apologize. I haven't
okay.
seen it, but I was just wondering about what the landscaping was
It's the last page.
I got it. Okay, now I'm looking at it. I just didn't fold it out. My apologies.
No problem. Okay.
Where are you moving the compressors and?
They're going into the water treatment area, which is undercover.
In here?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Cool.
Anybody else?
I just have a question. Why you're doing why are you adding slats to your chain link fence if we put in, usually they put in that black screen type material on it?
I prefer the privacy slats. They come in tan and they match the building. We've used them on the other properties adjacent with the same owner. You're talking about the black cloth?
Well, whatever it is, it's right. Because what happens to these slats over time is they begin to look disheveled.
So they would be inserted vertically. It'd be, right. appear like a vertical fence.
Yeah,
so correct. And you're saying that there's similar fencing on adjacent properties
across the street.
Yeah.
Well, this does face into the parking lot, doesn't it? Yeah.
Correct.
That gate's going to get. So have we resolved the issue of a roof over the dumpster?
If I may jump in real quick. Extending that roof over would likely require us to redo the building coverage calculations on site, and there's already been a modification granted. I believe we're at about 32% building coverage, and the zoning ordinance allows a maximum of 30 unless a modification is approved. So additional roof structure is something we might want to avoid in this.
Well,
case.
You know, my basic question is, if under the city's stormwater management policies,
mm-hmm.
I thought that that dumpsters were supposed to be covered. Now, I guess Public Works hasn't seen this and hasn't made any comment on it.
They have seen it. This project is actually in the land use permit clearance stage. So
they've made no comment on it then?
They still have yet to approve the final stormwater management plan.
So there could be some requirement from them that they do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of premature for us then to consider this until they've made some decision. That's a question.
Yes and no. It depends what they require.
Well, if they require a roof, then we should be reviewing a roof.
Right.
And if they don't, then we should just be looking at it now. But I don't. It's kind of hard to proceed.
What if the dumpsters are covered? I mean, smaller.
Well, I know. I believe that the rule is that they all have to be. So, anyway.
I think that we were grappling with this on other projects.
We have been
with the smaller dumpsters, and indeed there were some of them. I mean, I think we let it pass because there were covers. And some,
there was a separate cover. I agree. I mean, I don't have any problems
with
it.
So it's been on a case-by-case basis, I guess, is what I'm suggesting.
Right. The main issue on dumpster covers is so that rainwater or other water doesn't seep out of the bottom of the trash cans and into the stormwater. And so if there is a lid on it, that generally suffices. And if the entire dumpster structure is screened on the property, then that should suffice.
But often what happens is sometimes you see them leave the lids up. So that doesn't really, anyway, it's not acceptable. So, I don't care. It's just that I'm trying to carry out city policies, and we're sort of at an impasse here. Anyway.
You want to use smaller dumpsters for them that have the plastic?
Another question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Could I ask a question, Bruce, on what is happening with the eastern parking lot? You're making the drawing sort of comply with what's existing there now?
That's correct? An as-built verification. Correct.
So there were actually some plantings that are actually parking spaces. You had shown them previously as. I'm just trying to understand.
The bulb outs there?
Right.
Those were new requirements from the city.
Okay, so and that's existing, and so the drawing is just reflected.
I'm sorry.
They're coming in.
The black lines are new curb work. Community services request that we provide, bulb out turnouts.
If I may interject
again,
I believe the question is, Bruce, and you'll have to help my memory on this one, is these are as-built because is it both parking lots or just the southern one was built without permit?
The shaded areas were parking spaces that were expanded about 12 years ago.
Right. So those two were not built with permit, and that's why they're labeled as built now.
Correct.
They've been, these two parking areas have been approved in their configuration by the Planning Environmental Services Director. And the bulb outs were additions to these parking lots for turning radius purposes.
So it's turning radius, does it also factor into the 30% landscaping?
Correct. Oh. Yeah, we've been able to maintain the 30%.
Okay.
That was one of our goals.
Okay. Comments?
Any comments?
Just regarding the landscaping, I mean, I think what you're showing is nice. I just have a question regarding the bottle brush trees that you're proposing along Linmar. I know that there's some existing mature bottle brush trees there now. I believe we took that species off the recommended street tree list, and now we're talking about having six of them go in. As I say, they do, in this particular instance, they match several trees that are already there, so maybe we should take that under consideration. And otherwise, I think the landscaping is fine as proposed.
There's nothing there. You have some pines, but there's nothing in the parkway. It's across the street.
I'm comfortable with it. I went and I checked it out this weekend, and I guess what I'm most excited about is those big storage things in the back to go away.
Yeah, they're going away.
So I'm comfortable with it, with what's proposed.
If I could jump back in, I'm thinking of another bottle brush species, the lemon bottle brush. That's what we deselected, but the weeping bottle brush is still there, so it's fine. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm good with the proposed changes. The only thing I'm, and maybe I'm just not, I missed something, but when Cecilia brought this up, it's kind of caused me some concern because on the one hand, you don't want to approve something that an agency down the line is going to say, oh, no, we got to do this differently. But at the same time, if I understand correctly, you guys already got a zoning mod on this. For a certain amount of roof area.
Well, yeah, building, yes, yeah. Building imprint.
I don't want to, have to make you do something that's going to throw that out the window and cause a new mod. I mean, I'm kind of hesitant about saying yes to this because it'd be nice to resolve this thing about the dumpster being covered. That's my only sticking point.
Right. The dumpster being covered is something that we're going to have to iron out with community services, and thus far community services has already evaluated the stormwater management plan for this property as well as the waste management plan, and it's my understanding that they are okay with the dumpster as is.
Okay. All right.
And I think if anything changes, we'll have to bring it back, but I don't think that it will.
All right, yeah, because I wouldn't want to do anything that's going to cause these guys to just fall into planning hell, so to speak.
We don't want to come back.
No. So based on that, I'm actually okay. I'm okay with this in its configuration.
Did I hear the applicant
suggest that it's possible to get a dumpster that is covered? I mean, from the...
Well, we can look at vinyl covers.
Yeah. Well, there's both kinds. I mean, there's the open top ones that you just...
Roll-offs.
Toss stuff into, and then there's the other kind that's covered, and you open the ends, and
we started covering a dumpster across the street on site. We had a review through the city URS Corporation. We had an environmental educational walkthrough about a month ago, and one of the things they suggested was a vinyl cover on the roll-off dumpster across the street, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so I think if we recommend that be used here, that gets us out of the problem of having to build a structure for this thing to sit under. So.
That'd be great.
All right. Anybody else? Okay. Do I have a motion for approval?
Well, I will make a motion. This is
revised final.
Make a motion for revised final approval. And is it appropriate to add the thing saying that to make sure that the dumpster has a vinyl cover on it?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
Yeah.
I would second that.
Okay. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 I'm going to abstain from the voting.
Okay. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
I2's not here.
Okay, final calendar. We have a continuing. That takes.
I'm not here yet.
Yes. Oh.
Take a break.
Preliminary.
All right, we are down to preliminary, and I guess they're not here, so we're ahead. So we'll take a break. 5 minute break.
Mr. Messner and members, I believe we are running way ahead of schedule. So I will make an attempt to contact our remaining two items on the calendar today to see if they can come in sooner. So my recommendation would be to take a break until the next applicant is present.
Okay, thank you. So we'll take a break. Item I2, Madam Secretary.
Thank you. Item I2 is on the preliminary calendar. Design Review Board Permit Number 09-174-DRB, Verizon Wireless Monopine Facility, located at 5484 Overpass Road, APN 071-220-033.
Thank you. Okay.
Actually, if I could
All
make
right.
a report. Thank you, members of the board. As I had stated earlier, the Planning Commission reviewed the project yesterday evening at its meeting and gave it unanimous approval and wishes to express its gratitude to the Design Review Board for all its work on this project. It's much appreciated. And so we're here for a preliminary review. So Melissa, if you could state your name for the record, that'd be great.
Yep. Good afternoon, guys. My name is Melissa Tauber, and I'm here representing Verizon Wireless. Just want to go over our plans, and then I brought in samples where we could discuss colors or how you guys want to proceed with matching monopine to the appropriate surroundings.
Thank you.
Melissa Tauber, Tauber. So in the past, I believe you guys had an issue with the shape of the pine tree, and definitely colors and thickness of the branches and how many needles we'd be having on the branches. Mm-hmm. I think the best way to approach it is have you guys ask me any questions about the plans that you would like to know about.
I thought I can't read what's up there, but I thought at one meeting that we had given some language that would direct the applicant of how the branches would be to space and so on and so forth. And I'm just wondering where that language might have been. This was some time ago, to ensure that we get that sort of diversity of whatever.
Yeah, as I recall, it would stagger.
A stagger or whatever. There was other some other language we had as well.
And there was also, we were told that you could put some of the foliage on the, I want to say speakers, but not.
On the socks.
Yes. Yeah. Those are called socks, and I actually brought a picture for you guys to to look at. This has been done on other sites. It's definitely flexible. This particular picture is showing minimal socks on the antennas, but it is possible to cover up all the cabling, the actual antennas, and the antennas proposed on this monopine would be farther into the interior of the monopine, right. So you wouldn't really see it from the outside.
So this is just more of an exaggeration.
Exactly. Just wanted to show you guys what the socks looked like.
Wow.
You want to pass that around.
Melissa, if there's another co-locator, though, would there be a potential for the for those future antennas to be further away, similar to what's in the picture?
Yes, we're proposing a 60-foot monopine, so it really depends on any other carrier's preferences and their RF coverage needs.
Right. But those antennas would be set at a different elevation, either above or below?
We have two different sets of antennas, one at 43 feet and one at 49.
No. I think Bob is talking about if it's if there's a co-located antenna.
Mm-hmm.
In future, they wouldn't be at the same elevation as the ones that are going to go with your proposal.
No.
They'd either be above or below yours?
I believe RF engineers have a specific requirement of spacing between antennas.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if the future ones, if and when they come, would substantially change the shape, the appearance of the monopine.
Yeah, if I can help answer that, Mr. Wignott and members, my understanding is that as part of the telecommunications ordinance, we do require that when a large monopine is proposed, that there be made available a co-location opportunity. And Mr. Higgins has advised me that that they could accommodate, this structure could accommodate another set of antennas at the 39-foot height, roughly. And, of course, it depends on the next carrier or the prospective carrier if that would meet their engineering needs. If that were to happen, they would have to apply to the city for a land use permit and design review. So any revisions to the structure in as part of adding, say, a co-located set of antennas would come back to you for more refinement of the current design. So,
yeah, thank you. I mean, what I was trying to get at was, if these are what's being proposed would be the highest antennas, so you wouldn't have anything further above it that would distort the shape of the tree. I guess that's where I was heading. You're saying that if they do come in, it will be something that's lower down.
That's my understanding. Okay. Most likely, I think structurally it gets harder to go higher.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I think my question's been answered. Thanks.
Shine, for the conditions of approval of this project, is there a description of what the tree will look like in the Planning Commission's staff report? And if there is, can we take a look at it?
Sure. The Planning Commission reviewed the plans that are before you today. They did not make any specific direction as to design and decided to
leave. In the conditions of approval for the project
that
they saw, are there conditions about how the tree will look?
They would basically have to conform to the design review board's
Were there stated? So you're telling me there were no stated conditions in that the Planning Commission approved in their approval of the project?
That is correct. They are deferring to the design review board with respect to aesthetics and design.
And we have no set of standards other than what we come with. You know, we've seen some before in our meeting, and I'm sorry that they're not here today, because my concern is that unless we're very specific, the applicant can go away and there's nothing in writing. It's just all visual.
And yes, I think we're here for preliminary review today, so I think the goal of today's review would be overall size, bulk, and scale of the structure, and then also to have an opportunity to talk about details for final review, even though we're not at the final review stage. So things that would be considered for final review would be the branch spacing, branch density, branch color, thickness, and those would all have to be printed on the plans as a requirement for final
approval.
You know,
at one of our meetings, we did talk about branch density and branch spacing, and I think that's very important for our discussion today, because this is what we're considering for preliminary before we move on to final. Now, we don't have that in front of us, and I think that we should. And if you go back to some other minutes, perhaps you can go back and look at earlier minutes of our meetings. It will tell us that, because that was in one of those set of minutes that talked about there'll be, I don't know, but it was fairly extensive, if I recall.
As I remember, it was actually more than one meeting that we were dealing with the shape of that tree. And
right, but we talked about how you could have branches at certain different heights from one another, I think it was in that document, and I think we need to have that to ensure that, because how else are you going to inspect to ensure that what it is what we're approving is?
I think if I can help here, I do remember that the previous discussions for this project talked about the shape of the tree and the we did not call out specific branch density. We were looking to the applicant to tell us what is possible. And we also talked about definitely that the branches should be staggered on the tree as to go for as much as possible a tree-like appearance. But as far as specifics of construction details, we haven't. That was not part of our previous discussion.
Well, but part of our discussion laid that out, and it would be helpful to see what it is we said. So
I recall we talked about the bark being a two-tone.
Right, but there are some issues of shade or field.
Typically, in the past, we've had jurisdictions have us call it out on the plans, referencing thickness of the branches, how many.
Well, we need to do that, because otherwise, what's the inspector to inspect to?
Exactly.
It'll be at your standards, and it could be at different densities. Then, until you ask the applicant, you don't know what those densities are. And we did ask at one time, and we're told, and we said, okay, we thought that was good, whatever that was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to pick colors. And rather than do it from a photograph, Melissa suggested, as some other jurisdictions, that one member from the board go out with the color palette and match on site with adjacent trees, or try to get the mixture so it would look good.
So is that an offer?
That's going to be all happy to do it, but I think it should be part of our motion, because I think this tree is really important. I think this is too green for that particular, but perhaps we should look at the color chart that she has and give some preliminary indication of what you guys think might be, just without having seen it on site.
I do recall that one of the previous meetings, the gentleman that was here from your company was talking about staggering the branches could be staggered, and the mounting of the needles on the branches can be
different.
Staggered in such a way that it does look more natural. Do you have some language perhaps with you that goes to that?
Well, we're definitely very flexible with design. Staggering branches, the amount of needles that are put in these, all cellular companies, manufacturers do have a variety of colors in their needles. The best look I've had in the past was actually going out, picking out two different samples, coming back with a bar member and matching it to that exact tree and just bringing back photos so you guys can see what it looks like on site.
Scott, can you pass that photo of the antenna size?
Okay.
If you guys would also like to look at previous plans that you have reviewed, that might give you a better picture of what in the past you did not like.
I think we're here to approve what we like rather than look at old drawings which weren't really satisfactory, and that's how we came to the conclusion of what we're seeing here today. And I guess I'm going to ask this question once again, is we see this drawing and we see sort of the shape of the tree, and we all felt fairly comfortable with that, but is that what they can, is that the what they build to?
Yes, we would put a specific note on the plans if that's the shape that you guys would want. We would put a note saying that's built to the plans.
I think what we need and what we thought we did one of the previous meetings with this was make some of those determinations relative right. to branch density, the staggering of them, the length of them. Yeah. The one thing I remember is the 12-foot length at the bottom, so it defines that 24-foot diameter of, at the base of the tree. But I also think we talked about, you know, at some additional height up the tree, the branches would be X long, and as you went up the tree to define at certain points as you go up the trunk, how to define that shape as it goes up rather than leave it open for discussion, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we did all of that, and I guess part of what I'm hearing is the board's frustration is somehow that's been lost in translation, so to speak.
It was part of our approved minutes, so it should be in.
And I think the recommendation of having a board member go out with you and pick colors on site, I think, will solve that problem. But
no, it would solve the problem as far as the colors. Color and the bark. But I agree. We worked long and hard to come up with the right shape, and it needs to be codified on that drawing for us to see where it says, you know, limb shall be model X25.
Right.
Type limb up to yay high, and then model Z24 whatever up to so high, you know, something spelled out so that we get a tree that looks like a pine tree instead of just a furry green cylinder.
Did you find them, Shine?
Yes, members. I have the motion from the previous meetings. Including the, so I will summarize the motion from, as you remember, there are two versions of the tree. There is a shorter version, which has been approved by the Planning Commission at 60 feet. But there are comments for the last version of the taller version that did not get to the Planning Commission, I think, are material to the discussion today. They're general in nature, but I will read them so as to help provide the context for today's discussion and how to go forward. So from the July 13th meeting, the comments from the motion read, one, the applicant shall adhere to the following design specs for the monopine. Branch foliage must vary in density, spacing, size and angle to avoid rigid symmetry. Overall tree shape shall integrate with the context of the site. Colors of the trunk, the faux trunk and branches must be field matched to blend in with the existing vegetative backdrop and shall be non-reflective. Green needles shall be interspersed with brown to provide more natural appearance. And the exterior surface of the faux trunk shall emulate the texture of a real tree. All antennas, including the panels, microwave, and GPS mounting brackets and coax cables, shall be completely screened from public view by the faux foliage and painted to match. Branch foliage shall continue down the faux trunk so as to fully conceal the trunk from prominent public vantage points, and the overall design shall substantially conform to and implement the visual effect represented on sheet A6. So that summarizes the comments. Those are the comments from the last meeting, the second to last meeting, that provide the most information that was provided from those previous discussions.
It appears that graphically,
this is what
that's been achieved.
Yes.
But there's no written word or numerical indication to back that up.
Because when you do density, you can place them at various heights, can't you? And I think what we wanted was the most number of branches. I think that's what we discussed. I would hope, you know, I think that's whether they're 3 feet apart or 5 feet or six, I don't know. But I think that you have a standard, and what is it? You can do it at various.
It's all over the place with depending on what the jurisdiction wants. It's mainly been the planner picking it out for us in the past, but we'll definitely note that on our plans.
No, well, we need to know. We just can't. I'm not sure what we're noting. We need to some indication of what you, what can you provide? What can you do? Every foot, every 3 feet?
I'd have to check with the manufacturer of how close the branching can go.
Okay, so we need to know that. And
I mean, what we're looking at here is, on paper, graphically the best iteration of what you have presented to us. So I think it's kind of incumbent on you to have that information quantified on the plans, you know, with words and numbers at that point.
Yeah, so normally projects do have that.
I would recommend that we could go back to our manufacturer and get specifics and reference that on the plans according to how this looks.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay. So what would you be providing us when you come back? What kind of information?
I'll get specific information from the manufacturer, reference it on the plans as far as spacing, density, okay.
And
colors.
Can you provide us with what the ranges are? In other words, the
branch
density ranges from 2 inches to 10 feet or whatever. That's exaggeration, but
definitely.
If you can provide, and even is there a certain number per tuft of whatever this is, per length of branch? I mean, is that, I have no idea, but.
Are you asking how many needles go in a branch?
No, I'm asking how the spacing of the needles.
Okay.
So that we have some idea. It's, you know, 2 inches apart, 3 inches, 4 inches. If you have examples, I think that'd be helpful to see that. I don't know if they're different or the same or what they normally do, but that perhaps would be helpful. And if you have the faux bark, a sample of the faux bark.
We have it.
Do we have that?
Yes.
Oh, I see. We have it here. Okay, I didn't see it. Oh, wow.
That looks pretty good.
Wow. Yeah. That's great. That's very good. Okay.
They're very crafty.
So I guess perhaps then in the interim, if you want to have some discussion about color, I'm happy to go out and do field matching and then come back with recommendations of the lighter, the darker. Now, how many colors can we have per tree? Just two, one?
It really depends on the manufacturer that we're using. This particular manufacturer has a variety of colors.
Okay, but in other words, you could do a blend of three, or?
Yes, definitely. Oh, okay. This is actually right here, a blend of three.
Oh, is it? Okay, so perhaps the board would like to have a discussion of how many colors they think would be appropriate. I mean, that you may not even know until you go out there, but.
It would seem to me that you would need more of a recommendation of out on site, surrounding areas. Okay, this color, this color, this color. Whatever many is derived out of that, put it together. This is what it looks like that would match.
So,
and you can actually
so
see
I
it.
Think the discussion has to be, do we want the tree to match existing trees or adjacent trees, or we want it to be kind of its own tree?
I would think that you'd want it to be its own tree, but still carry some similar color so it has more of a blending effect, but yet it doesn't stand right out there.
Well, that's my concern, is we don't want it to stand out.
Right.
Okay. All right. So if you have any other specific language, I'd be happy to go out with Melissa and we'll get together. We'll go out and she'll bring her color palette, and then for the next meeting, I'll come back and make some.
Right, so you're going to meet with, okay,
yeah,
so you volunteer for that.
Yes.
That's fine. Okay, good. So then do we need a motion on this?
I'll make a motion that we continue this to with the comments that the plans get clarified with notes and or dimensions to quantify the graphic design of the tree shown, and that the applicant meet on site with Cecilia
right.
to choose
That's fine.
the colors for our next meeting. Did I miss anything?
No, I think that's about right. Do you have a second?
I will second. Should our comments also reflect the information that Shine read as to
absolutely
painting of antennas and
absolutely. We need to have
structure
that.
And the antenna socks and so on. So
we need to see all that to come back at our next meeting.
Can we take those comments that you read and incorporate them in our motion?
We can. I believe we can refer, make the, if you can form your motion to include the comments on design from the July 13th, 2010 meeting.
Okay.
And then I will ensure that that language will be available for you to read at the next meeting.
Right. And in that regard, you referenced a drawing A-6, which we don't appear to have.
What we have is
A-3 and A-4.
Although that would have been a drawing that we were set.
Right.
Previous set.
So I think we want to reference today's drawing number A-3 and A-4, perhaps.
Okay. Yeah. I'll amend my motion, including the comments that read by Shine from the July 13th, 2010 meeting, and referencing the graphic shown on sheets A-3 and A-4 of the current set of plans.
Second.
Now, can I just ask a question based on that? We're going to have the equipment box. It's going to be painted to match. I'm not sure. What does it match? A dark green? Or is there a certain color that you?
We can paint it either tan, green, whatever you feel is sufficient, and it's enclosed in a fenced area.
Right, but normally it's painted a dark color. I don't know. Do we have black and beam? The county uses black and beam as a color. I don't know. Do you have certain colors that you can tell us?
In the past, we've done either green or tan.
Okay, so perhaps you can bring us a color chart for the box. And what about the fence? The fence is just a chain link. Is it colored like a black colored chain link fence?
I believe in your previous DRB hearing or meeting, you guys referenced doing slats in the fence.
No, I don't think so.
Or you could do either tan or black, or I think they do green also.
Yeah, I think
black is clean, fresh.
Right. We don't do slats here.
That it? So.
Okay. So I'm just wondering if we can add that to the motion that we'll look at the color for the equipment.
The equipment color specified, and the fence surrounding the area is black chain link. So amended.
Okay. Good. All right. Thank you.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, I am. Yes.
And so, Melissa, do you have a date by which you would like to come back for?
The next one.
So you'll have some information ready for us in a week, because we need plans a week ahead of time.
Your next meeting is a week?
2 weeks.
We could definitely get plans in a week. I'd have to check with the manufacturer. I'm going to say yes, we can do it.
Okay, so that would be a continuance to April 26, 2011.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we're moving not too bad. Okay, conceptual preliminary calendar, item J1, Madam Secretary.
Item J1 is Design Review Board Permit Number 11-036-DRB, Transform Equipment Yard, located at 115 Castilian Drive, APM 173-150-025.
Okay.
I have to recuse myself because the property owner is a client of mine.
Okay. I was just going to call for declarations, so one out. Anybody else?
Same thing, site visit, no conversations.
Ditto.
Same. Okay. Is this us?
Yeah.
Okay.
May Mr. Messner and members, I do not have any introductory comments, so I'll just let the design team present the project.
All right, my name is Richard Six from Lenvick and Minor Architects. Hello, board members. We are doing a very simple expansion of an equipment yard here at the 1115 Castilian Drive. It's an existing building on the corner of Cortona and Castilian. And the building has two tenants. The one in the back is Transform, or to the west side, and they are growing like gangbusters. And commensurate with this, there'll be an interior expansion of their clean room, but that's all inside. So what you're seeing here today is the ramifications of their growth on the outside, which simply means that right now they have in the south side of the building, actually the site is partially undeveloped, as you are aware of. There's no immediate plans for development of that. Hopefully, Transform will keep growing, and we'll see a new building on that property. In reflection of the, it's a sharp building. It's a contemporary. Split face. But today, their growth in this step is simply to increase the yard to support the equipment that will support the new expanded clean room. I think you've all seen the screen that there's significant equipment in that yard. Right now, the yard is 18 feet wide from the south of the building, and we're proposing to bring it out another 30. So it's just an increase of size. The design is the same. It has a black chain link with galvanized 2x supports, both vertically and horizontally, and a black tennis fabric, which was all agreed to and supported last time the fence was here before you. The other component that you don't see in front of you is after we discussed and figured what the exact requirements of the expanded clean room would be, we have additional equipment on the roof, which I'd like to, if it's appropriate now, to introduce those plans to you. The first sheet you see is the site roof plan, and if you'll notice in the middle here, there is a new equipment screen pad, and we have identified the existing equipment that's surrounding it. One is a rather large to the east or to the right of this pad. There is a large piece of equipment, an air handler that's plus 7 feet above the roof. And then there's about five different exhaust pieces of equipment that are about 16 inches in diameter, reaching about, extending above the roof about 7 feet. The new equipment that we are proposing, if you look on the next page, the equipment, I think it's most well defined. Let's see, which is the best image of it. Now let's look at the east elevation there, and or the south elevation. You'll see the equipment, the new pad or platform is 16 inches off of the roof, and the new equipment, there's four of them. They're small air handlers, which are about 28 inches high. So total will be about 48 inches off the roof, where the, oh, and in addition to, they will have one more exact copy of the five existing exhaust fans and flues that we have that I mentioned first. So if you look, let's follow this down through. The north elevation, there is a 5 foot a screen at the parapet at the front, which covers the large air handler unit now. The new equipment will all be behind that. The next elevation is from the street, and this, and you can see that the existing air handler, which is 7 feet high, will mostly obliterate the lower new equipment in the background. And it's significantly back from the street. If you need to see more photos of the sight lines and so forth, I have those. Then from the south side, again, the existing equipment is significantly high. The new equipment is lower and pushed back as far as possible from that elevation. And then the west elevation, the same. It's back significantly from the parapet. So I don't think there's a concern there. It's the new equipment is in lower profile and moved back more from the parapets than the existing. If you need further images to make that apparent, let me know. So that's basically my presentation, and very willing to answer any questions.
I have a question regarding the landscape screening that's being proposed along the southern perimeter of the paved area.
Yes.
Could you explain what that landscaping would consist of?
I'm not sure exactly what. Do you remember the, Brian, the name of the... I think it's a pittosporum.
Is it going to be a hedge-like screening, similar to what's there now?
Yes, exactly. That's what we're intending to match.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That might be better. I'm not really the plant guy. I'm sorry.
It's very healthy now, and
it looks like a xylosma.
I think that rings a bell. We talked about it once, but I can't remember all those Latin.
Yeah, no, it's
stuff.
I can find out pretty quick. I got a plant.
But surely that's our intention.
My best guess is it looks like a shiny xylosma.
It's healthy and doing a job. I'm sure it's fast growing. That's the key, I think.
I had one question. On the preliminary site plan, just south of the new fenced enclosure, right on the edge of where the new asphalt picks up, it looks like there's four what appear to be catch basins. Are those existing catch basins?
That's correct. Those are existing.
Okay, so the new pavement just slopes down to it, so those pick up any runoff off the new.
That's our intention, yes. So we will grade the... surfaces to utilize those existing catch basins.
Thank you.
And another question regarding the rooftop equipment. Would you use the same color scheme for the new equipment as for the existing? Would everything up there?
Yeah, it's a gray, sky blue, and that's a good washout color.
So does the existing equipment already have that color painted on it? Are you going to repaint or?
You actually can't see any of that equipment except for the stacks.
Right.
Because it's only about this high. The existing exhaust fans are about 4 feet.
You can see them in some of the photos that you've provided. And my question was for continuity's purpose, would you have the same color scheme on that throughout? And what? Yes. And what would that color be? I guess do you have a name for that
not
color?
Not precisely today.
Okay, but I think that would be one thing that we'd want to
we can
make
add,
as part of the recommendation. Yes. Just all the rooftop equipment would be coated with a similar color.
See that blow up on the.
Any other comments?
If I may, we've had in the winds, and you can see it in some of the photographs, the screen pops off, and we would recommend that we. They are attached with those plastic zip connectors, and we would recommend that we increase the thickness of those and the weight of those up a couple notches. Mm-hmm. And don't want to permanently or get them too strong, because then we could have a sail and have either the fence fail or actually rip the black fabric. So I would add to the specifications or the details to increase the thickness of those plastic fasteners.
I thought about this when I went out to the site, but after looking at the photos, I've probably backed off on it. I wondered about putting the screen on the inside of the fence rather than the outside to let the structure of the fence kind of, whether that would be worthwhile or not, but I'm not sure the structure is regular enough to make that work, so I'm kind of good either way, whatever you think. And I don't know if there's any benefit one way or the other with wind. So
that's a good idea to explore, actually.
What do you think?
Yeah.
What bugs me is that between the screens, you can see the vertical posts, and then the screen spans over another vertical post, so we've got kind of this alternating in and out.
Right.
If we put it on the back, it would be a more consistent.
Right.
So
you get
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's worth. I think that's a good suggestion.
What is the material? Fabric.
It's like
landscape fabric.
It's a nylon product that's kind of, well, you can see that's it's breathable. It's black, but it's a nylon product. I think it's typically used in tennis screens and so forth.
All right. So I see in the drawing you've got a proposed 16-foot high landscape screening. So you're talking about a hedge.
That's correct, to okay. match the existing.
I don't know. I know the ficus green gem would definitely get a 16-foot thick. I'd like to just throw that out there to, as a...
Eat up the parking lot.
It's not a ficus tree.
It's a vine.
No, it's not a vine. It's have you seen over there Winchester out there at the Smith's gas station right behind it? That's all the ficus green gem. It's a lush, deep green They're made more for hedges, and you can get a thick, lush hedge right there, and they grow really fast.
I got the ficus part. What's the?
Green gem.
Green gem?
Yeah. It's just something to think about.
It's not a tree?
No.
It's a vine?
It's like a shrub tree. They're used as hedges.
All shrub. Similar to Eugenia?
Yeah. And in all reality, Eugenia is a tree. If you get down to it.
The only consideration there is that we do have the existing.
I understand.
One, and it, you know, variety is the spice of life. I guess we could
just well change the hedge, it, if change you want to see out. The hedge in forest just out there at the 76 station, just mm-hmm. out there, you'll see it behind it. It's just it's blocked the trailer park and the gas station, and it's done well
mm-hmm.
as a barrier.
We'll entertain both.
Yeah, that's all. Just a suggestion.
You got that plant?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, Carl,
we're here for conceptual preliminary. I guess I'm good for preliminary. I don't know how everybody else goes, and we're not talking about heavy duty issues left here. So, I'd make a motion for preliminary approval with the. The species of the plant material for the hedge to come back, and consideration of the possibility of moving the screen to the inside as opposed to the outside, and to add the note about the new equipment and flues to match in color to the existing.
I'll second.
Good. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And is this preliminary approval with final on consent? Is that where we're headed?
Yeah, I was going to ask that we expedite it as much as possible.
So,
can you come back in a week?
2 weeks. So,
yeah, 2 weeks. Good.
And then,
when do you need it?
Then we'd, if you want to go for the 26th in 2 weeks, we'd need the plans next week.
On what day?
Tuesday.
Tuesday? Okay.
We're moving fast. That's exciting these days.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are we your last customer?
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
Scott, wake up.
This is your
Yes. Turn off the cartoons.
Yeah, it should go into the file.
So, Sean, how many copies do you have?
I just need one.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, great.
Okay. Conceptual calendar, advisory calendar, discussion items, requests for future agenda items, announcement by members.
Okay. If I may provide a clarification, for Mr. Hansen's project earlier today, I did check with our admin staff, and they did advise me that for projects that are continued, we do not provide hard copies of plan reductions in your packet, that Mr. Kollwitz does make them available on our website. So that was not an accidental omission for today's review. So that's a FYI.
FYI.
Yeah.
A CYA. Okay, thank you. We're adjourned.